In the new town of Namet, hammering and sawing and banging and cussing were still going on. Shelves were being restocked and signs painted. The men and women all knew they were working against time. Sam drew up papers proclaiming the town of Namet legal and binding. Sort of. He dated the paper a year back.
Does anybody here know what the governor's signature looks like?
Hell, I don't even know if he can write.
Sam scrawled the governor's name on the bottom of the page and held it up for all to see.
This town has been in existence for 1 year, folks.
John Lee looked over what was left of his town. He had a pretty good idea what had happened and where it was. For this to have been done this quickly also told John that Sparks had indeed hired himself a bunch of new hands, and they wouldn't be fresh-faced greenhorns either. He also saw the fine hands of Matt Bodine and that damned half-breed brother of his in this work. John sat as saddled and sighed as he watched the bewildered people who once owned businesses in the town wander around, trying to salvage something, anything. There was damn little to pick up, and no goods at all. Jeff and Ed and the others had not only taken the buildings, they'd also taken all the damn merchandise that had been in them.
This is flat-out stealing!
Prove it. That is, if you want the law in here.
John glanced at him.
There is that to consider, for a fact.
Well, it ain't all bad. They did leave the folks a pot to pee in.
John jerked the reins and rode off. He was in no mood for any jokes.
Man just don't have no sense of humor at all.
Penn Masters had been listening. He walked his horse over to Bam.
What's the matter, Bam?
The same thing that's been gnawing on you, Penn. I ain't fighting no women and kids.
We ain't fought no one yet, Bam.
John Lee's a ruthless man, Penn. A man used to getting his own way, any way he sees fit. You and me, Penn, we rode out of that mess up in Utah, remember?
Yeah, I remember. I need the money, Bam. It's just that simple.
I need money, too. But I also need sleep at night. I ain't never killed no women or kids, and I ain't gonna kill no more cattle or sheep. That made me sick up in Utah. I just ain't gonna do it no more.
Let's stick this out for a few more days, Bam. If it gets to where innocence is gonna get hurt, we'll pull out.
Deal.
The next morning, John Lee, accompanied by his small army, headed south, following the wagon tracks from what used to be crossing. Over 40 strong, they kicked up a powerful lot of dust as they rode. They reined up at a freshly painted sign nailed to a fence post. Namet, Texas. 1 mile. Lopez took off his hat and scratched his head.
Namet?
Bam and Penn both ducked their heads to hide their smiles.
Very amusing, I'm sure.
John lifted his reins and paused, watching a large group of riders heading their way. They were all carrying Winchesters.
We got them outnumbered 2-1.
Nobody wins in a fight with this many people this close up. Just stay calm. Let's see what they want. Let's spread out, just in case.
As John's men spread out, the riders coming from the south broke out of their bunch and spread out. It was a sight that caused even the most hardened gun hand to wonder why he didn't pursue some other line of work. The line of riders stopped about 20 feet from John's army. Jeff and Ed, flanked by Matt and Sam and Gene and Noah, sat their saddles and stared at John Lee. Various hands formed a line behind them.
This is a public road, Jeff. You have no right to try to stop us from using it.
That wasn't my intention at all. With all the dust, we thought it might have been the army coming to visit our town. Or a band of outlaws.
We just thought we'd pay your new town a visit, Jeff.
New town? What new town is that, John?
John was not a patient man. He had very little in the way of a sense of humor. He struggled to keep his temper in check as he pointed to the sign by the road.
That new town.
Namet? Why, John Namet's been here for near bouts a year. We just had an election. Matt Bodine is the marshal and I'm the mayor. You boys are welcome in Namet. Just don't start any trouble.
A year?
That's right, John. You need to get out more. See all the changes that are taking place around you.
Broaden your horizons.
You won't get away with this, Jeff. None of you. What you done was stealing.
Stealing? What did any of us steal?
Our things in Crossing.
Is business good or are conditions a little, vacant?
John drummed his gloved fingertips on his saddle horn. He'd always been in command, always taken charge. This new development had caught him off guard, and he wasn't sure how to handle it.
The, town of Name It, is it on your property, Jeff?
Oh, no. I deeded the land to the town. 100 acres, all legal and proper. We expect Name It to grow with the times. Things are changing, John. Even you must see that.
Some mighty good people lost everything they had back at Crossing.
Did something happen at Crossing? Tornado touchdown, maybe?
Jimmy glared at the man who killed his father.
Yeah, I seen a funnel cloud yesterday. About noon, I think it was. Well, I told everybody I thought it must have hit Crossing. But since you think you're Lord God Almighty and forbid any of us from visiting Crossing, there wasn't much none of us could do about it. Since we sure didn't want to do nothing that might upset you.
Except pray.
Yeah, as soon as we seen the funnel cloud, we immediately got together, held a prayer meeting for all the good people of Crossing.
It was wonderful, inspiring, brought tears to my eyes, especially when we all lifted our voices and sang, "The mighty winds do blow."
No play on words intended.
Have your fun, boys.
John lifted the reins, and all could see his hands were shaking.
I'll pay your town a visit some night and burn the goddamn thing to the ground. Let's ride, men. Yah!
That's a mighty upset man.
Hell with it. Right now, we gotta spread the word we need a barber and a blacksmith and a dressmaker and so forth for our town. Gary, ride for the settlement. Start talking it up. It won't take long for folks to come in.
Go with him, Bell. And you boys watch yourselves.
See if you can find a piano player for the saloon. Nothing like someone pounding the 88s to liven things up.
And a preacher. Tell him we'll build him a church and a house for his family if he'll come live here. We gotta have a church to make the town respectable.
Let's head back for Name It, boys. We still got a lot of hammering and sawing to do to make the town look right.
Not to mention to make it able to stay upright in a stiff breeze.
John Lee paced the floor in his study. His rage mounted with every step. He had looked over the new hands Jeff had hired and saw Wang Leather toughness in them all. These were men his hired guns would not intimidate. And Jeff's new men, although slower on the draw, would not miss their first shot. And he knew, too, that tough men could take 2 or 3 slugs and still stay on their boots, firing with deadly accuracy. He'd personally witnessed that more than once. John Lee sat down behind his desk. He had to think. He'd offered up his brags, but Jeff and Ed, with the help of Bodine and Two Wolves, had turned his brags into so much hot air. And stolen a whole damn town. That rankled John Lee. Crossing was his. Or rather, it used to be his. Bunch of outhouses was all that was left. And the people he'd brought in to run it were gone or in the process of leaving. Bunch of whiners and quitters. He was glad to be rid of them, tell the truth. Where the hell was he going to buy supplies? He shook his head in disgust. Damned if he'd go buy supplies and Name It. Stupid name for a town. He'd just have to send wagons to the settlement. That was all there was to it.
Come in.
Nick walked in, his mouth all poked out in a pout.
What's wrong with you?
Cindy don't want to perform her wifely duties.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon? What's the matter with you? Things like that are done at night, not in the middle of the day. Damn, boy.
Marriage ain't what it's cracked up to be.
You talk to any of the hands?
Yeah, they told me the town is gone. Now what?
I honestly don't know. Do you have any suggestions?
Kill Bodine and the engine.
Matt Bodine is a skilled gunfighter, son. And Sam Two Wolves is near about as good as he is. Don't tangle with either of them.
I could take both of them.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
Fine. Now leave me alone and let me think. We've got to come up with a plan.
Dad, we're paying them gunslicks out there in the yard fighting wages. They ain't done no fighting yet. Turn them loose and let them earn their money.
Go on, boy. I'm listening.
Peck told me that we ain't been banned from the town, right?
That's right.
Then new hands are going to be riding in for drinks come this weekend, right?
Go on.
Ambush them.
just like that, eh?
No, sir. We wait until they start to ride back home. They'll be full of beer and whiskey and a whole lot more careless than they was riding in. We hit them fast and hard and then get the hell gone.
John thought for a moment, then slowly nodded his head.
I like it, son. I like the way you think. Let's add this. Two groups of men. One to hit the punchers on their way home, the other lying in wait for those left in the saddle when they come chasing after our people. A double ambush.
Yeah, I like that.
I'll ramrod the first bunch. You can lead the second bunch. Agreed?
Agreed.
The father rose and took a map of the area from a drawer and laid it out on a table.
Let's plan where we're going to hit them.
What would you do if you were in John Lee's shoes, brother?
I've been thinking on it. I'd strike and I'd hit hard. That's the how of it. Where and when is the unknown.
He threatened to burn the town.
Temper talk, I think. It wouldn't accomplish anything. Not as far as lessening the odds, anyway.
He was looking over the boys today, for a fact. I don't think he liked what he saw.
I'm sure he didn't. Jeff's got a fine crew now, but John still got us badly outnumbered. With the money to hire 100 more men if need be. But maybe we're looking at it from the wrong angle.
What do you mean?
We're thinking and talking about a full-scale attack. Maybe that isn't the way John's thinking. Let's think like an Apache, Sam.
Ambush?
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. And with some of the pressure off, and a place to go and relax, namely name it, the boys will surely head for the saloon come Saturday night.
That's what it might be.
Let's go talk to Dodge.
Not Jeff?
No. Jeff's still holding on to hope that this can all be settled without gunplay, and that just might get him killed. If we go to him with our thoughts, he might try to keep the boys on the ranch come Saturday night.
Let's go see the foreman.
I'm glad you come to me with this instead of going to Jeff. I hate to hold back from him, but until he gets it through his head that we're in a real life and death struggle here, that's the way it's got to be.
How many men does he have to lose before he understands that?
This ambush ought to do it. I know how you boys operate. I heard about that business with the kids west of here. You boys like to ride in all lathered up and hell for leather. If I was your age, I'd probably do the same thing. Now you boys go talk to the hands while I ponder on this theory of yours. I was fighting Apaches 25 years before either one of you was born. Don't worry, I'll set it up right.
That's a tough old man. I have a hunch that he's going to get down and dirty with his planning.
I think you're right.
They gathered the hands around them and discussed it over supper.
I think you boys hit on something. For sure, we was all planning on riding into Namet come Saturday night for cards and drinks. Now look here.
Marlowe got a pencil and a piece of paper. He drew the meandering lines of a creek about 3 miles from the town.
Road takes a sharp bend right there at this creek. Good cover in the bend. That's the only place between the town and the ranch they could pull it off.
Matt and Sam nodded their agreement.
And if I was planning this, I'd set it up to hit us after we spent half the night drinking in the saloon, riding along half asleep in the saddle.
Right. So what's the plan?
Dodge is thinking on it. If it were up to me, I'd get there before Lee's men and blow them out of the saddle.
I do like the way you think, Matt.
After dinner, Matt and Sam presented their strategy to Dodge.
Sounds good to me. Anyway, we cut it up. John Lee's men have to ride onto Circle S Range to get to that creek. They've been warned what would happen. So to hell with them.
Who stays behind to guard the ranch?
Well, we'll draw straws. Excepting you boys and me, that is.
The Circle S men left their horses behind a bluff on an old, dry creek bed and walked to the cottonwoods, getting into position just at dusk. Dodge had strapped on another long-barreled peacemaker, and the old foreman looked right at home wearing the guns. Matt had told Sam that he suspected Dodge had not always been a foreman. Sam agreed. Crouched behind the bank of the creek, enjoying the coolness of dusk, Dodge turned his eyes to Matt, who had been studying him.
Think you got me pegged, eh, boy?
I don't believe you spend all your life looking at the rear end of cows, if that's what you mean.
I traveled here and there in my youth. I scouted for the army, and I rode with mountain men and wintered with the Injuns. I've been the marshal of more than one wild town that people said couldn't be tamed. I tamed them. But I never rode on the hoot owl trails, never stole nothing, and don't have no use for them that do. I own a percentage of the Circle S, Matt, so this is personal for me.
Fonny Dodge. The man some people say was the first to use a fast draw.
Now, that's what some people say, all right.
You dropped out of sight more than 20 years ago, according to my dad. The word is that you're dead.
That's the way I like it, boy. I had too many young punks looking for me, wanting to make a reputation. Got mighty tired of looking over my shoulder all the time. So I left the gold fields and come east. Landed here, and here I'll die. Tonight, next week, 10 years from now. Who knows? Listen to me. Hang up them guns of yours, boy, before it's too late. You've already got the name. It'll haunt you. You and Sam go on back to your ranches. Marry up with good women and settle down. I used to be just like you, Matt. I could clear a barroom of some of the most saltiest old boys west of the Mississippi just by walking in there. I lived for that cotton dry mouth seconds before the lead started to fly. And I knowed no one could beat me, just like you know it. Has to be that way. When you lose your confidence, well, that's the day you'll die.
Did you lose it, Dodge?
Nope. I got smart, boy. Just like you'll get smart on down the road. If you don't, you'll die. Just that simple.
Sam was on the other side of the old foreman, listening intently. Dodge cut his eyes to him.
You got the same bearing about you as your brother, Sam. I knew what you boys was the moment I laid eyes on you. I'm 40 years older than the both of you, and I know what I'm talking about.
We'll drift back to Wyoming sometime.
Maybe. I wouldn't bet my last chip on either of you doing it anytime soon. You both got the mark on you. But for now, I'm glad you're here. Enough talk. We best start listening.
If the Broken Lance riders come, do we give them any breaks at all?
Dodge looked at Sam, and the old man's eyes were as flat and hard as a rattler's gaze.
Hell no. When they get into range, we just stand up and blow them out of the saddle.
You're a tough old bastard, aren't you?
I'm alive, son. I didn't get to my advanced age by doing no damn favors to the crud of this earth.
Matt and Sam both grinned at him in the gathering gloom along the lazy, flowing little creek. The men waited. Stars were out, and the moon up before the sounds of hooves reached the men. All the punchers jacked back the hammers of the six-shooters. The riders were walking their horses very slowly to keep both the dust and the noise down. Just outside of effective pistol range, the riders pulled up. Then a lone rider left the bunch and walked his horse toward the thicket. He walked his horse up and down the road by the creek, but the men from the Circle S were all wearing dark clothing, and none of them moved. Most breathed through their mouths to cut down even that slight sound. He walked his horse back to the bunch.
Let's get into position.
When the Broken Lance gun hands were no more than 25 yards away, Vonnie Dodge opened the dance. Half a dozen saddles were empty, some slick with fresh blood. The air was thick with a combination of kicked-up dust and gun smoke. Those still in the saddle got their animals under control and hit the air.
That's it. Load up in case they double back and try it again. But I think that's doubtful.
You boys on the road, keep your hands empty and sit up if you're able. Anyone who comes up with a fistful of iron gets dead.
Dirty, murdering, ambushing bastards!
That's what you was gonna do to us, wasn't it?
That's different!
I fail to see the distinction. But then, I'm just a poor, ignorant savage.
Oh, stinking red skin.
May I borrow your knife, Matt? I believe I'm going to take a scalp.
Now, wait just a damn minute. You make sure you're peeling the right feller. I ain't said nothing.
Is that you, Dallas?
Yeah? Who am I talking to?
Chooky, you sure picked the wrong side, Dallas. You hard hit?
Side and leg. But I can sit saddle. How about it?
Can you trust him not to come back?
Oh, yeah, I've been knowing him for years. If he gives his word, he's gone.
Tell him.
I want your word on it, Dallas.
You got it. I'm gone if I can find my horse.
Just pick one. They're all probably stolen anyway.
Mine ain't. I worked all summer last year to buy that horse. Honest work.
The animal came to him, nuzzling him. The puncher turned hired gun, climbed painfully into the saddle, and rode out.
You better shoot me, because when I get my hand on a gun, I'm coming back and finishing the job!
Dodge stepped out into the road and kicked a fallen six-shooter to the man. It landed right by his hand and shone dully under the stars and moonlight. Dodge's guns were in leather.
Pick it up, loudmouth.
Fuck you, you lousy old fart!
The gun hand grabbed for the gun. With a very faint smile showing under his snow-white handlebar mustache, he spun the long-barreled peacemaker a couple of times before shoving it back into leather.
Five dead, Dodge. Two more look like they ain't gonna last the night. Five can ride, I reckon. What the hell you wanna do with them?
I know what I wanna do.
The old gunslinger looked at Matt.
Suggestions?
Well, I am the marshal.
Sure enough. I plumb forgot about that. We got plenty of lumber left to build a gallows.
Now wait just a damn minute!
I ain't been to a good hanging in, oh Lord, I reckon it's been 15 years.
Now we all hush up with that hanging talk. Just let us ride and we're gone with the wind, boys. That's a promise.
Get them on their horses and get them out of here. Throw them dead men across the saddles and rope them down good. I don't feel like digging no damn holes this night.
You don't suppose we were lucky enough to get Led and John Lee, do you?
No, he was gone in the first bunch. At least I think I seen him hightail it out.
Yeah, what now?
Well, let's ride in to name it and have us a beer.
John Lee sat in his study and assessed his damages. He and his men had ridden straight into an ambush and had paid the price for it. But how did Jeff know they were coming? Did he have a leak? He immediately dismissed that. Only he and his son knew where they were going and what they planned to do. He had told the others during the ride over to the creek. Jeff, no, probably Bodine, had made a lucky guess. That had to be it. Once back on home range, John had only then realized how lucky he had been. His bunch of hired guns had been shot to ribbons. Only he and Dusty Jordan had escaped uninjured. Several of the men who'd ridden back to the ranch were in bad shape, not expected to make it through the night. Others had suffered only minor wounds. He dismissed those unfortunates from his mind. They were only hired guns and he could hire more. What was important was the blow John Lee had suffered to his ego. He felt the beginnings of dark, savage hatred growing within him. He never thought about calling off the war. He never thought about why he was doing it. He didn't even know. He just knew that he wanted all the land around him, thousands and thousands of acres, to be his to do with as he saw fit. And he was going to get it, even if it meant killing everybody that opposed his grand plans. Jeff Sparks stood on the front porch of his house, standing in his long underwear, but with his hat on his head, and listened to Dodge's report about the ambush. When Dodge finished, the rancher nodded.
It had to be, I reckon. They couldn't have been riding on our range with nothing else on their minds. All right, Dodge, from now on, it's war, and I realize it, so don't never leave me out of planning again.
You have my word on it, Jeff.
Any of our boys get hurt?
Not a scratch.
Get some sleep. You can bet that John Lee is making war plans right this minute.
Sunday dawned hot, and those who weren't riding the range stayed inside the bunkhouse to escape the heat. They mended socks, patched boots, checked equipment, played cards, told lies to one another, and relaxed. The men who had been sent to the settlement returned with the news that people were on the way, about 25 or so, counting the kids, to run the stores, work the saloon, the blacksmith shop, the barber shop, and so forth.
Did you find a preacher?
Sure did. His wife's a school teacher, too. We're going to have to build a school.
Well, church can be the schoolhouse Monday through Friday.
Ed smiled at Jeff.
We got us a town, partner. A real town with honest-to-God, hard-working, real people.
We're on the way to bringing law and order to this part of the country. It's a grand day, boys.
Let's ride.
Matt ran for his horse. They found Sonny, one of Ed's hands, dead on the ground, his horse standing over him, nuzzling the man who'd been his master for years. Sam rolled him over. A bloody hole was centered in the man's back. The slug had cut the spinal cord and probably busted the heart.
God damn it! Sonny's been with me for years. He was one of the finest men I ever knew. Like one of the family.
Dan Ringgold. You dig that slug out and it'll be a 44-40. Bet on it. That back shooter's gone to work.
Matt looked at Ed.
Me and Sam will pick up his trail. You can bet on that, too. We'll be back when you see us, Jeff.
Now, boys.
The rancher shook his head, his features growing hard.
Be careful.
We'll bury Sonny at dusk. He liked that time of day. He used to sit outside the bunkhouse and play his guitar and sing songs. He had a good voice.
Family?
If he did, he never talked about him. He's a quiet man.
Burn that on the marker. Here lies a good, quiet man. Let's go find the man who killed him, brother.
They began working in long, slow circles. It did not take them long to pick up the tracks. They found where the back shooter had positioned himself, on the crest of a long, low hill. And they found the spent brass twinkling in the sunlight.
Not enough to stand up in a court of law.
It's like they say, brother. There ain't no law west of the Pecos.
They followed the tracks back to the main road. There they headed north.
He sure isn't making any effort to hide his trail.
Matt reined up.
What's the matter?
He isn't making any effort to hide his tracks.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's too obvious.
He's leading us into a trap.
Feel like heading cross-country to get ahead of him?
You're reading my mind, brother.
The brothers crossed the road and rode for about 2 miles, then cut north, keeping their horses moving in a distance-eating lope, slowing them often to save them. They slowed their horses to a walk as they neared the road and reined up at the base of a small hill. Carrying their rifles, they ran up to the crest, taking off their hats to present less of a skyline, and peeked over the crest.
Would you just look at that? Like ducks in a row, just waiting for us to come riding along.
Matt smiled, and they both eared back the hammers of their Winchesters. The range was too far for any kind of accurate shooting, but both brothers scored hits. The ambushers, including the two that were hit, used great agility in scampering over the crest of their hill.
Recognize any of them?
That big ass has to belong to Lou Witter. That's the only one I'd bet on at this distance.
Bodie! Right here! What do you want?
I'd like to know a man's name before I kill him.
Who am I talking to?
Tress.
You better carry your butt back to Oklahoma territory, Tress. I'm gonna put lead in it if you hang around here.
You goddamn cocksucking son of a bitch.
Is that the best you can do, Tress?
I'll meet you anytime, Bodine. One on one.
Name your spot, Tress.
They're planning a setup, Matt.
Sure they are. I'd be surprised if they weren't.
A minute passed. A dust devil was spun up and went whirling and dancing across the little valley that separated the two factions.
How about now, Bodine?
Where?
In the road back of us.
They're sure to have a rifleman getting in place now.
Yeah, but that ridge they're on is the highest point around here. Where would he be?
How about it, Bodine? You turning yellow on me?
There were 6 of you when we started firing. At the count of 3, me and Sam stand up. And the 6 of you stand up. How about that?
What's the matter, Bodine? Don't you trust me?
Hell no!
They're stalling. Calling the riflemen back, brother.
Yeah.
Do it right now, Trist! Or it's off!
Some other time, Bodine.
I'll do you one better, Trist! I know you got that lard-butted Lou Witter with you. He fancies himself a good man with his fists. How about it, Lou? You think you could take me stand up, bare knuckle?
Apparently, Lou wanted no part of Matt Bodine. After a moment, the men had reached their horses, hidden nearby, and were riding off, heading north toward Broken Lance Range.
We follow them?
No. They're probably counting on that and will be waiting for us. Let's get back to the ranch. I imagine a lot of the boys will be wanting to go to Sonny's funeral. We'll stay behind as guards.
Jeff, his wife, and Lisa and Leah were going to stay over at the Flying V for the night, and the boys would ride back after supper. Matt, Sam, Barlow, Gilly, Compton, and Tony stayed at the ranch as guards.
You think they'll hit us tonight, Matt?
I'd bet on it. So let's play it this way. Sam and me will take the front porch of the house. It's got good cover behind that adobe and a good field of fire. Barlow, you and Gilly take the bunkhouse. Compton and Tony the barn. Let's make sure we have plenty of water and our pockets stuffed with ammo. Let's load up the spare rifles we have and the shotguns we took from the dead outlaws. I just think they'll hit us right after dark and they'll hit us hard.
Conchita?
I'd hate to be the gunny who invades her kitchen. She's got a shotgun, a rifle, and a pistol nearby, and knows how to use them. The kitchen being where it is, she's well protected.
Matt glanced out the window of the bunkhouse. The sun was setting.
Let's get into position, boys. I think we're gonna have visitors pretty soon.
Tanner had worked his way as close to the ranch house as possible. He studied the tranquil-appearing scene through field glasses, then engined back to where the hired guns were waiting.
They left behind some men, maybe a half dozen, no more than that. They were just getting into position when I left. Got some men in the barn and on the front porch. I couldn't tell where any others was, but I expect there's some in the bunkhouse.
Tress turned to a man.
Stay with the horses and keep them settled down. Soon as it's dark, we'll work our way in and hit them. You boys get them torches so good now, we'll burn those bastards out. Let's get at it.
The horses began restless movement in the corral and in the barn.
You were right on the mark, brother. I think we're about to have visitors.
Yeah, and they're all around us, too. Time to split up. See you in a few minutes.
Right.
The brothers moved to opposite ends of the long front porch. The heavy wooden shutters of the house had all been closed to guard against torches being thrown into the house. Conchita had barricaded herself in the kitchen and was putting on a fresh pot of coffee. She knew cowboys and knew they would want some hot, strong coffee when this fight was over. That done, she stoked up the fire, then broke open her shotgun to check the loads of buckshot. She checked the rifle and pistol and placed them within easy reach. This was nothing new to Conchita. She'd been with the Sparks family since they came into the area. She'd stood alongside them and fought Comanches, Apaches, and outlaws. She'd killed before and knew she would probably kill again this night. She fixed herself a sandwich and sat down at the table. Let the no-goods come on. She was ready. Four Circle S rifles barked from the bunkhouse, the barn, and the front porch. A slug howled over Sam's head, and Sam sighted in the muzzle flash and returned the fire, smiling as his slug struck flesh and bone.
I smell kerosene! They're gonna try to burn us out! Stink!
A slug knocked a board from the house, stinging the back of his head. Matt triggered off two fast rounds. He couldn't tell if he'd hit anything, but he was certain he'd made life a little more exciting for the gunslick who shot at him. A running shadow caught his eyes, and he fired. The man dropped his unlit torch, grabbed at his hip, and fell heavily. Matt sighted him in. From his position in the loft of the barn, Tony saw a torch burst into fire, and he pulled the trigger. The slug doubled the man over and dropped him to the ground. He landed on the flaming torch, and his clothing erupted into flames. The man rolled frantically, trying to extinguish the flames. Another ran to him, and Tony cut him down. It was a quick shot, a hurried one, and not a killing shot. But the man was out of action for a while, writhing on the ground and holding one leg. The burning man's hair exploded in fire. A hired gun dived through a window of the bunkhouse. He landed on a bunk, rolled to the floor, and jumped to his knees just as Barlow ran to him and clubbed him with a rifle butt. And Gilly turned and swung his rifle.
Burn the goddamn place to the ground!
Matt fired two quick rounds in the direction of Trest's voice, but was uncertain whether he hit anything except air. Torches burst into flame, and the men carrying them ran toward their targets, one running toward the rear of the house where the kitchen was located. Conchita was waiting in the darkness, all lamps out. She sat in a chair facing the back door, holding the double-barrel shotgun, both hammers back. The gun hand was pleasantly surprised when he found the door unbarred. He pushed it open and stepped into the darkened kitchen. Conchita reloaded, then stepped out and threw dirt on the flaming torch until it was out. A gun hand ran around the corner of the house, a torch in one hand and a six-shooter in the other. The blast caught him in the chest, lifted him off his boots, and slammed him backward, the torch falling into a water barrel. Conchita stepped back into the house, taking shells from her apron pocket and reloading. She poured a cup of coffee and sat down in her chair. No one else, not even Jeff Sparks, sat in that chair.
Come on, you sons of hell. I'm waiting.
Pukey Stag slid down beside Trest behind a well.
It ain't working, Trest. The roof won't catch fire on the house, and them old boys is dead shots with them rifles. I've seen five of our people go down myself. There's someone with a shotgun behind the house, and Benny and Frank don't answer to no one's call. I think they're dead, too, and I think we've had it for this night.
Trest looked around him. The torches had been put out by the men carrying them when they realized there was no way they were going to burn anything down except one privy behind the bunkhouse. It was still burning. The man who had torched the outhouse lay dead in front of it.
Fuck. Let's get out of here!
Before the men had left their positions, Dodge and the boys were galloping hell-bent into the yard.
I was afraid of something like this. When'd they hit you boys?
About half an hour ago, I think. I wasn't checking the time. It got a little busy around here.
So I see.
Conchita put the skids to two back there, blowed one plumb in half, and damn near tore the other one up about as bad.
She's hell with that shotgun. And there ain't no backup in that woman.
Matt knew then that what the older hand said was true. Dodge and Conchita had quite a thing going for each other. Very discreetly, of course.
We could probably catch him, Dodge. Let's go after him.
You just sit tight, boy. There ain't none of us going blundering around out yonder in the dark. We'd likely be riding right smack into an ambush. We got plenty to do here this night.
Dodge, you get your old bones in here and sit and have coffee with me. I bake the cake, too.
Dodge grinned sheepishly.
Take charge here, Matt. I got cake on my mind.
Among other things...
Got some wounded over here, Matt!
Be right there! Let's go see what these yahoos have to say, brother.
I have no doubts whatsoever that the conversation will be mentally stimulating.
Gene Sparks had dismounted and was walking along with them.
Sam, can you teach me to talk like that?
Sam grinned and looked at Matt, who was shaking his head in disgust.
Certainly. A small voice crying out from the wilderness for education. Isn't it wonderful?
Matt reached over and jerked Sam's hat down over his ears. Matt knelt down beside a man who looked like he did not have long to live. He'd been shot through and through, from one side to the other. The pink foam leaking from his mouth indicated he'd been lung shot.
You got anything you want to say?
Yeah. Go to hell, Bodine.
You'll be there a long time before I make it, partner.
Matt rose and walked to another, squatting down. He knew the man.
Jess. Long way from the Wind River Range, isn't it?
For a piece, Bodine. Looks like I hired my gun out to the wrong person this time, don't it?
I won't lie. You're hard hit and there's no doctor anywhere near here.
Matt could barely see the nod of the man's head in the darkness.
I figured it was. Hurts.
Family?
Nah. Had a wife once. She got smart and left me. That was years ago. Took the kids. I don't know where they are.
Another shot-up hired gun sneered from his position a few yards away.
Oh, now don't that just break your heart? I always know you was a real sob sister, Jess.
Jess smiled through his pain and turned on his side. He palmed a derringer with his left hand. Oh! The tiny two-shot pistol fell from his suddenly very weak fingers.
I never did like him. I think I'll just close my eyes for a minute or so.
He never opened them again.
Conchita is pretty good at patching folks up, but she'll never get her to work on this bunch.
Dodge strolled out into the yard, a cup of coffee in one hand and a large piece of cake in the other.
Take all their guns and ammo. Store them. put them that look like they might make it in a wagon. We'll drive them to where Crossing used to be and leave them. If John Lee wants these gun slicks, he could come fetch them.
That ain't decent.
Get a rope, Red.
Now, wait a minute. I ain't real happy about that suggestion neither.
Then shut your damn mouth. Open it up again, I'll hang you. Get this pack of crud out of here, boys.
The hands were sober and reflective the next morning. They had been very lucky so far, and they all knew it. That six men with rifles had managed to beat back an attack by three times that many was something just short of a miracle, and all knew that the next time the Broken Lance attacked, they probably wouldn't come out of it nearly so well. After breakfast, the hands rolled the dead into blankets and buried them in unmarked graves. Jeff Sparks read from the Bible, and the hired guns became one with the earth. Matt and Sam accompanied Jeff and his wife and daughters into town. The ladies went shopping and visiting while the men went to the saloon.
15 new folks pulled in yesterday. We got us a preacher and a school teacher. Got us 2 bar girls and a piano thumper. Folks to work the general store on shares, and a smithy and leather worker. Neiman's gonna boom, boys. I can feel it.
How about supplies for the businesses?
Stage stopped by yesterday. Left word that the wagons are rolling from the settlement. Be here today.
I reckon we better hang around and see this. Big day for us.
Al turned to look at the clock.
Stage will be back in a couple hours.
How about some coffee, Al?
It was a little early for beer, and the cafe wasn't open yet. No cook. But one was supposed to be arriving soon.
Coming up.
Jeff pointed across the street.
What's the new building over yonder?
That's the marshal's office. With all these new people coming in, don't you think Matt should stay in town?
Matt felt eyes on him. He nodded his head.
That's probably the best thing.
He hadn't wanted the job of marshal, and had taken it only at the other's persistent requests.
I'll stay on as deputy.
I'd appreciate it, brother.
Look at that! The word's gotten out and people are coming in. 5 wagons with settlers, and those are supply wagons behind them. We got us a town, boys. We got us a real town.
This ain't farming country. I got to get the word out about that. Them folks that come in today was merchants and the like. That's good, but this ain't farming country. It might be someday, but not now. People have tried and failed.
Jeff had jumped the gun on John Lee, ordering all available lumber from the settlement supplier. Even if John Lee had plans to rebuild Crossing, it would be several months before any lumber order could be filled. He probably knew that by now and would be furious. Sam pointed that out.
John Lee can go straight to hell. The rest of us are trying to look ahead and build for the future while he wants to destroy. As far as I'm concerned, there's no turning back now. It's come down to root hog or die for all sides. I'll have your thing sent in this afternoon, boys. Good luck to you both.
The heavy hand of John Lee had been lifted from the area. The oppressive and deadly grip he had tried to maintain was, while not gone, at least softened. And the news quickly spread. For the next several days, the sounds of hammers and saws filled the town. Buildings went up quickly with everybody pitching in to help. Jeff and Ed split their hands and sent half into town to help out. The town of Namath no longer looked as if it might fall down in a stiff breeze. There was an air of permanency about it now. Women walked the boardwalks and kids played in the alleys and in front of tents that would soon be replaced by wooden structures. Quarters had been built behind the marshal's office, and Matt and Sam settled in.
I wondered just how far our authority reaches.
I asked Jeff that. He said just as far as we wanted to push it.
You're the only law between here and El Paso.
No. There is one more badge toter somewhere around here.
Oh?
Yeah. A man by the name of Josiah Finch.
Josiah sat his horse and looked around him, momentary confusion stamping his face.
Now, I know I ain't lost. I ain't been lost in years. I didn't know where I was a time or two, but I wasn't lost.
He knew there had been a town here several weeks past. He'd stopped and had him a bite to eat and several cups of coffee. Now all that was visible to the eyes were half a dozen outhouses. Josiah's horse was named Horse. All of Josiah's horses were named Horse. It was easier to keep track of them that way.
Horse, did you take a wrong trail somewhere down the line?
Horse swung his head, a reproachful look in his eyes. A look that seemed to say, Don't blame me. Josiah swung down from the saddle and ground-reined horse. He studied the situation for a moment. The sounds of riders coming turned him around.
You've got to be John Lee. Anybody else would have showed some respect and common courtesy by not raising a dust cloud.
Who the hell do you think you are talking to me that way?
I know who I am. Name's Finch. Texas Rangers. And if that news don't suit you, get down off that horse and do something about it. If you think today is a good day to die.
John sat back in his saddle. He did not want trouble with the law, and he especially did not want trouble with the Rangers. Texas Rangers took a very dim view of people who inflicted bodily harm on one of their own. As a matter of fact, they could get downright hostile in reacting to news of one of their own being hurt or killed.
Sorry about the dust.
Where the hell's the town that used to be here?
Now John Lee was caught in a bind. If he told his ranger that someone had stolen the town, there would be an investigation, and he sure didn't want that. God damn, Matt Bodine. Finch saw several smiles among the hard cases that rode with John Lee. Two smiles, as a matter of fact. He knew both men, Penn Masters and Bam Ford. Ford was from the Big Thicket country, and while he was known as a gunslinger, he was not really a vicious man. Neither, really, was Penn Masters.
A cyclone came up and blew the town away.
A cyclone? You mean it took down all the buildings except the privies?
Looks that way.
Blow them about 10 miles south of here.
Penn was obviously enjoying John Lee's discomfort, for John twisted in his saddle and gave the man a very dirty look.
Yeah, just set them right down on the ground just as pretty as you please. Folks down there gave the place a new title. They call it Name It.
Name It? We got a town in Texas called Name It?
Yeah.
Well, who's the law in Name It?
Matt Bodine.
Josiah Finch smiled. He now had a pretty good idea what had happened to Crossing. A cyclone hit it, all right, in the form of Jeff Sparks, Ed Carson, and a couple of Wyoming gun hands. No, he corrected that. Bodine and Two Wolves were not gun hands in the ordinary sense. They were not cold-blooded killers, nor did they hire their guns. They just both happened to be very, very good with shotguns and very, very bad men to fool with. Josiah swung up on horse and picked up the reins. He gave the gun hands a long, slow once-over, then looked at John Lee.
For a prominent rancher, you sure keep strange company, John Lee. Word I get is that this is only about a third of the men you're paying fighting wages to. The last thing the governor wants is a range war. And if that happens, he's going to be a mighty unhappy man, he is. Now, I'm going to take me a ride over to Name It and check into the hotel, if there is one. Have me a haircut and a shave and a hot bath. If you boys is planning on going over there, fine. Go on. But you'll by God follow me, because I don't feel like eating your dust.
John Lee looked back at Penn and Bam.
You boys think this is funny, do you?
They both grinned at him. John backed his horse up and handed them both greenbacks.
There's your pay. Don't let me see your faces around here again.
Or you'll do what?
Penn held his right hand close to the butt of his gun.
Too close, boss. It's way too close in here.
John Lee knew it. He savagely swung his horse's head and galloped off toward Name It.
I hate to see a man treat a horse like that. A man who's mean to animals ain't much of a man.
Penn looked at the money in his left hand.
Yeah. Well, what now, partner?
We ride to the Circle S and ask for a job. After we stop off and Name It and tell Matt what's happened.
It might be interesting to see what's going down in town.
Yeah, just poke along after our ex-partners and see what happens.
The men rode slowly along, heading south.
You know, Bam, the last 2-3 jobs I had, and they were fighting jobs, I wasn't very happy with myself. I felt all out of place. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I've been that way since Utah. I've been thinking about getting a real job, an honorable one, saving some money. I'd like to head to California and start all over.
Sounds good to me. You want a riding partner?
Sure, Penn. If we hook up with the Circle S, we're going to have to kill some of them old boys ahead of us. You know that, don't you?
Most of them old boys up yonder need killing.
Bam couldn't argue it. He knew it was fact. Josiah stepped into the marshal's office, startling Matt and Sam. The man moved like a damn ghost.
Boys, I got John Lee and his bunch about 10 minutes behind me, all of them primed and cocked for trouble. So I think I'll wait before I get all dooted up at the barber shop. I do hate to get all cleaned up and then have to bathe again. Too much soap and water in one day is not good for the skin.
He poured himself a cup of coffee and sat down.
What do you boys know about Penn Masters and Bam Ford?
I knew Penn from up north. He's a fast gun, but not a killer, if you know what I mean.
I do. And Bam's the same way. Bam's really a pretty good old boy, but like a lot of young men after the war, he had a lot of violence in him. The damn Yankee Reconstructionist didn't help none, strutting around like God Almighty, telling folks what they could and couldn't do. Oh, well, it's water under the bridge. While we're waiting for John Lee and his bunch, you boys bring me up to date on what's been happening. All that you can talk about, that is.
The brothers leveled with the man, leaving nothing out. They were just as anxious to bring this spreading range war to a halt as anyone.
Vonnie Dodge? Good Lord, boys. That man was supposed to have been killed years and years ago. He come west, according to legends, back in 30 or 35. Vonnie's got him a Spanish woman, eh?
It appears that way.
Old goat. He twirled them six-shooters of his just once for you, boys?
That he did.
I got to see that. Is he still quick, boys?
You're mighty right he's quick. I wouldn't want to brace that old man.
Whew, high compliment coming from you. I think I'll just hang around for a spell. See if you get into action. I've been hearing you're faster than any man alive.
It isn't a reputation that I asked for.
Don't none of us ever do, boy. But once it gets hung on a man, he never shakes it loose. Well, here comes John Lee and his bunch. Take some advice from a man who's been behind a badge for years, boys.
Sure. We'd be fools not to.
Get them greeners out of them racks and load them up. There ain't nothing like looking down the barrel of a sawed-off shotgun to take the heart out of a man hunting trouble. Not to mention his guts and a lot of other awful-looking things when you pull them triggers.
When the guns were fully loaded, the brothers prepared to leave the office. Josiah held up a hand.
I ain't here on no official business. My business is concluded, so I ain't gonna take no hand in this unless I personally see someone is breaking the law, and I think you boys can't handle it. Of course, I will get into it if any of them hard cases out yonder lip off to me. And by the way, it looks like Bam and Penn done left the crowd. They ain't among them.
What happened to those murderers you were tracking?
I thrown dirt on them and read over them from the good book. I carry a Bible in my saddlebags. I like to read it when I got the light, usually while supper's cooking. The night's all quiet and all is peaceful. Makes a man feel plumb humble. Boys?
Does it make you feel better just knowing that little man is staying around?
Infinitely so. That is, providing he's on our side.
Sam glanced out the window and counted the broken Lance horses.
20 of them.
I can't believe that John Lee is coming here to deliberately start trouble.
I don't think he is. But neither do I believe he'd interfere if some of his hands wanted to mix it up.
I think you're right.
Matt hefted the sawed off.
You ready?
Let's do it.
The brothers stepped out of the office and sat down on a bench on the boardwalk, the greeners across their knees. Josiah was across the wide and dusty street, leaning against an awning support, building a cigarette. John Lee stepped up onto the boardwalk. The carving on it, a small boy's name, looked familiar to him. He grimaced, thinking that it should look familiar. He'd walked on it dozens of times.
What's your stand in this matter, Finch?
The only stand I got is law and order, Lee.
Finch thumbed a match into flame and lighted up. The rancher pushed past the bat wings, walking into the saloon. Al stood behind the bar, polishing glasses and smiling at the customers.
Afternoon, gents. What's your pleasure this fine day?
Al noticed Josiah Finch slipping quietly into the bar and taking a table.
Give me a bottle. Good whiskey.
Certainly.
Al looked at Josiah.
And you, sir?
Beer. After you serve them others. They's here first. I wouldn't want no one to get their feelings hurt.
Coming right up.
John Lee looked out the window. Bodine and Two Wolves were sitting on the bench, sawed-off shotguns across their knees. His gaze cut to Childress. Young Childress fancied himself a fast gun. His guns were polished to a mirror gloss and rested in black leather. The young gunny was drinking shots of whiskey and chasing them down with great gulps of beer. Maybe, John Lee thought, just maybe he could at that. He walked over to Childress, Josiah's eyes following him.
Just between you and me, Childress, and I wouldn't want the others to hear this. I think you could take Matt Bodine.
Why, I know I could. There ain't nothing to him.
$500 is yours if you do. Just between us now.
When do you want me to brace him?
Anytime. But you better go easy on the hooch.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Childress pushed shot glass and beer mug away from him.
No time like right now, is there?
If you're ready.
I'm ready. Owe him for that deal back by the Pecos anyway.
That's right. I guess that was pretty damned humiliating, wasn't it?
He just got the drop on us, was all.
But this time will be different, won't it?
Damn right, boss. 5 minutes from now, you can think about burying Matt Bodine.
Go get him, boy.
Josiah sat at his table by the window and watched John Lee speaking in low tones to the punk-looking young man. Josiah pegged the punk as maybe 21 or 22. If John Lee was setting up what the ranger figured he was, the punk would never see another birthday. But it ain't my show, Josiah thought, lifting his mug and taking a sip. Josiah watched as John Lee turned to a big, rough-looking fellow and winked. The big man, probably his foreman, nodded his head minutely and smiled.
Here it comes.
The punk walked away from the bar and out onto the boardwalk, working his guns in and out of leather before he hit the bat wings with his shoulder. He leaned against a post and stared across the street at Bodine and Two Wolves.
I believe that young man over there is looking for trouble, brother.
Sure looks that way, doesn't it?
You intend on obliging him?
If he pushes it, what choice do I have?
You have a very bad habit of answering a question with a question. Are you aware of that?
Does it annoy you?
Bodine! I say you're yelling! I say you're afraid to face me without that express gun! Ha! And I say you're a son of a whore!
The punk could have said a lot of things that Matt would have ignored, but not that last bit. No Western man would ignore that. Matt laid the shotgun aside and stood up, slipping off the hammer thongs from his guns. In the saloon, Josiah pulled out a long-barreled peacemaker and slowly spun the cylinder. He opened the loading gate and filled it up full with six. His message was silent but very loud. Interfere and someone dies in the saloon. The town lay north to south. Matt stepped out into the street and put his back to the sun. Josiah smiled, watching him. The young man knew his business all right.
If you can muzzle your dog, John Lee, you better do it now. Because if you don't, he's soon dead.
I'm not his nursemaid.
Suit yourself. But I hope you got enough money in your britches to bury him.
Don't you worry about it, Ranger. You just mind your own affairs and stay out of mine.
Josiah drained his beer mug and set it down on the table.
And don't you tell me what to do, Big Mouth. When it comes to law and order, I can damn well make it my affair.
Max, the big foreman, stepped in. He knew his boss's volatile temper.
There ain't no law about two men facing each other in the street, Finch.
That's right. Yet.
John Lee turned his side to the ranger and stared out over the bat wings at the life and death scene building in quiet intensity in the hot street. Childress had left the boardwalk and was walking to the center of the street, his boot heels kicking up dust, both hands hovering over the butts of his guns. Sam sat in his chair, watching, his face impassive.
Now I get to see what you're made of, Bodine. And I don't think you're made of very much.
This doesn't have to be. Just apologize for that remark about my mother.
Hell with you, Bodine! And yeah, it has to be.
Why?
Childress cocked his head to one side, a puzzled look on his face.
'Cause of who you is, Bodine!
What am I?
Well, damn it, you're a gunfighter!
I'm a rancher.
You're yellow!
Matt stopped about 40 feet from the young punk, his hands by his side. He could see the sweat forming on Childress's face.
John Lee, you put this punk up to this. His death is gonna be on your hands.
Hey, did you hear me?
I heard you.
Then draw, you yellow bastard!
Matt waited.
Drag iron!
Matt's hands did not move.
Hey, you gonna die? I'll be known as the man who killed Matt Bodine!
No. All you'll have is an unmarked grave. Give this up.
In the saloon, everyone had left the bar to gather at the windows and the bat wings, watching in silence. The hired guns were anxious to see what speed Bodine had, what accuracy. They knew their time with Bodine would come soon.
The kid is losing it.
I think Bodine is scared of him.
Then you're a fool.
Matt Bodine ain't scared. He knows he'll be standing when it's over.
Shut up.
I said draw, damn you! Come on, Bodine, do it!
I didn't start this, Childress. Just walk off and we'll forget it.
Hey, fuck you, Bodine!
The punk cussed him. He cussed Matt, he cussed two wolves, he cussed Matt's mother and father, any sisters and brothers, and ended up by calling his horse names. Still, Bodine did not move. He waited. Matt's draw was so quick the eye could not follow it. Matt's slug hit Childress in the belly and knocked him sideways, still on his boots. The kid had not fully cleared leather. One of the punk's guns fell to the ground. He managed to lift the other six-shooter and cock it. The second .44 slug took Childress in the chest. He sat down hard on the hot dirt of the street.
Now we know.
In the saloon, Leo Grand slipped his .45 from leather. He froze at the sound of Josiah cocking his peacemaker.
Go ahead, hombre.
I think I'll pass this round.
Well, you ain't altogether stupid. Just ugly.
Matt walked to where Childress had fallen and rolled him on his back.
Anybody know where to write your kin?
The punk's hands clutched at his punctured belly.
You beat me!
Where's your parents?
You beat me!
Matt squatted down beside the young man. He wasn't worried about any of the other gun slicks. Josiah was in the saloon, and Sam was watching his back.
Listen to me. You're dying, Childress. Your mama would want to know.
I killed five men. I filed five notches in my gun, this ain't real.
Matt stood up and turned, looking at the saloon. His eyes met those of John Lee, and John Lee's expression was one of shock. John was good with a gun, but he was not in Matt Bodine's class.
Ah, God, it hurts!
Men and women and kids began leaving their houses and tents and places of business. They gathered on the boardwalk and on the edge of the street, wide-eyed and watching. Childress's blood leaked through his fingers.
Somebody help me! Somebody give me some for the pain! Please help me! Please, somebody!
You happy now, John Lee?
John Lee did not change his expression nor move from the bat wings.
Answer me, you sorry son!
Josiah smiled, thinking he knew what Matt was going to do next. And if one didn't work, the other would.
This is gonna get real interesting real soon.
Somebody help that boy.
Why? He started it.
I don't think I'd like it out here. This wouldn't have happened in Pennsylvania.
This ain't Pennsylvania, man.
I can't die. I just can't. I'm too young to die.
The new preacher ran up, a Bible in his hand.
Have you been saved, boy?
Can you help me?
Only God can help you now, boy.
John Lee! Step out here, John Lee! This death is on your shoulders! Step out here and face me!
John Lee turned to Finch. The ranger was smiling at him.
Your move, Mr. Hotshot. Now we get to see what you're made of, don't we?
John Lee flushed and cut his eyes to Bodine.
Sure! You just hire your killing done! Is there any honor among you boys working with John Lee?
What do you mean, Bodine? Of course we got honor.
Josiah smiled as Matt slipped on leather gloves.
Your boss is too damn yellow to meet me with guns. So I'm calling him out for fists. Are you boys willing to stand and let the chips fall without back shooting me?
I don't like you at all, Bodine, but I'll shoot any man who interferes.
That's good enough for me, Harry. Come on, John Lee! Or are you yellow through and through?
Matt took off his guns. Sam walked to him and took the twin .44s in leather. John Lee smiled for the first time since he'd egged Childress on to meet his death. He had never been whipped in a fist fight. not in his life.
Don't nobody care about me?
I'll pray for you.
We'll sing Christian songs.
Wonderful. I think I hear the angels calling me home.
Raise your voices with me.
Sing me home.